This month on Illuminated, the 12 Months of I podcast, we're diving into the theme of involvement with our inspiring guest, Gabriella Robuccio, a seasoned events industry professional with over a decade of experience. Gabriella's journey has taken her from managing large-scale production projects at ESPN to leading multi-state fundraising events for a nonprofit healthcare foundation. Now, as the founder of Event Tips, these are pro, not just event tips. She's dedicated to equipping event professionals of all levels with essential tools and training for mastering relationship management and leadership within the event space. Her insights into what is truly meaningful is to be involved in every aspect of event planning are invaluable. And we are thrilled to explore them with her today. Welcome to the show, Gabriella, or I might just call you Gabby.
It's easier. It's a lot less syllables. We'll take it. But thank you for having me. I'm excited. I've enjoyed the podcast so far, so I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, we're so happy you're here because I was thinking about having some people that I've worked with in the past on involvement in, you know, MPI and other founders and all these groups that I'm part of, which are really important to me, why we're ending with, you know, December with involvement. But when I reached out to a community that we're a part of and you came and I was like, that's the person I want to talk to. So I'm just so grateful for you to come join us on this crazy little journey and that you've listened to the podcast. Thank you.
Oh, it's wonderful.
So we were chatting before this a little bit. And what I love about your energy and spirit that you bring to the events community is that you're just genuine. Like you just have this heart. And I do believe that you can show us a few things about how to use our relationships to be involved in other ways. So what are some of these pro event tips that you give to people in order for them to, you know, be involved?
And I love that you use the word genuine because that's one of my biggest points when it comes to relationships and getting people involved. The only way for that to be impactful is if it's genuine connection. So I spend a lot of time talking with people about how they can manage the many different relationships that they have to deal with in events and how to prioritize not just their time, but the time of the people that they work with. So all of their stakeholders. So we spend a lot of time discussing the level of engagement that people require in order to feel involved and have an impact on the project. Because, I mean, this is certainly a different aspect of involvement than like being involved in an MPI or something like this. This is literally on a genuine person-to-person business relationship level. What do you need to do to make people feel involved and why the heck is that important? So that's kind of where this is focused. And it's something that I learned throughout my career. It's not taught. It's not taught in the certifications. No. It's not taught. I mean, if you take an MBA, as you know, you probably get some leadership courses, but you don't get offered that until you're in that position. So
right.
When I realized how important managing relationships and getting people involved in those conversations was, I was like, I need to share this with the world. Like, people need to understand how helpful it can be for their events, but also for your own mental health. Just set your own boundaries.
It is very, very difficult sometimes to realize how the world has changed in a sense. And understanding from a perspective of doing events where a CEO or whoever it is, this is the way we've done it for years. And I'm going to give you an example and I'm going to read to you that something that you probably have in your inbox yourself. But this I read to my client during a site visit. And I think this is really what I was trying to get across to them because they didn't quite understand. They're like, logistics, and this is where we go, and networking. It's like, no. And this is, the success of an event is no longer defined by a flawless execution or packed agenda. Like the good old days. Today, the true measure of impact is more intangible. It's found in the deeper connections we create and the values we bring to life through our work. I read that to my clients, and that was from Liz Lathan, who actually her community connected us through Club Ichi. And when I read that to my client, and this was his first day, like for second week on the job, he's the new director of marketing. He doesn't know me from Adam. I've just been working on their events. And I read that to him and I saw his face light up. Why do you think that things have changed from really being logistical as a planner or somebody in the events industry needs to understand the impact of engagement?
Well, I mean, look at the world. It's the way that the world has changed, and we've kind of had to go with it. So we had a period of no involvement, no engagement, no community, or, you know, a very different sense of community. And I think it changed a lot of people's priorities, and it flipped a lot of perspectives on their head. And then once we were able to start connecting again, people are like, that's what I was missing. I wasn't missing your perfectly timed agenda. I wasn't missing your floor stickers. Like, I was missing the genuine participation, involvement, engagement with other people who understand. Because when we were all completely isolated, it was really hard to find people that you could commiserate. I mean, we were all going through the same thing, but there was such a disconnect. You couldn't really get involved in some of the things that really spark people's joy. And now we are lucky enough to be in the business where that's what we do. We promote engagement, connection, events, and like networking is one thing, but this is where the genuine would come back in. But there are so many different ways to get people involved and engaged and invested. And it's now the forefront. It's in everybody's right in front of their face because we were missing it for so long. And we realized what we had, you know, you don't realize what you have until it's gone. And the whole world changed. And then our industry was like, okay, this is what we do. We are the people's people. So let's go. Let's just take this and run with it. And I'm so glad for this perspective and this shift, because that sense of community was really missing, not just at our events, but within the events industry. It's all now about collaboration where, I mean, you know, early in our career, it was competition. Yeah. And so I think that the change in the world kind of forced us into a change for the good. If there's a silver lining of the pandemic, maybe that's it.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I was thinking about certain aspects of my own business as we are launching or relaunching our website. And one of my biggest things is the partnerships. Mm-hmm. It's being able to reach out to someone who does something better than me. And knowing that and saying, I need you to help me so I can get to this point. Or I for my website, I don't want to get into registration processes. Like, there are people who figure that out that do better. And I want to be like, you're my partner. You help me. I help you. We work together. And I do think that it is definitely a shift in the competition to working together and being involved in something bigger than ourselves. Can you touch on that, on how the mindset shift between how people were very, it was the me generation. I don't know if you read the book, Leaders Eat Last, Simon Sinek. So he talks about the me generation and all of that and how it kind of ruined a lot of us. Can you talk to a little bit about that shift and how you think we're getting back to that community involvement?
Yeah, it's, well, when you think about involvement, it is the bigger picture. So it is your level of involvement directly correlates with your investment, your passion, your, you know, involvement in an activity or a person. And that wasn't what, you know, end results, money, that was the focus. Now we're all shifting, and it's like we all see how much more we can get from collaborating as opposed to going solo. I mean, you just said it perfectly. You answered the question better than I could. There are so many people around us that have so many skills and talents that we can benefit from. And for a very long time, it was me, me, me. I need to be better than everyone. I mean, we see a lot of our generation. There was tearing people down to make yourself look good. And now I think it's realizing that you look better when the people around you look better. And it's like, I have much better events when I let my volunteer coordinator, who kicks ass with volunteers, deal with the volunteers, not my specialty. I'm going to go in the back room and, you know, deal with that. So it's like, I think it's, people are starting to realize how much the people around them have to offer. And I don't know if that came from the pandemic or if that is just a side effect of the way that society is going, because we're so exposed to everyone. Like, if it weren't for the online Slack community, I'm in Utah, you're in Tennessee. What are the chances that we would have connected if it hadn't been for Ichi? You know what I mean? So maybe it's just the exposure to the people around us, and the fact that people are now focusing on highlighting that rather than highlighting themselves.
Well, you just brought up a really good point about, you know, how digital has actually helped, because we've connected now. It used to be you had to go to an event to see someone in person to meet them. And now we have all these digital channels. Do you think that has helped or harmed the way people get involved in things, because we can take it or leave it?
Instead of being both?
You can say both, but I do think that there is a way of thinking about something. If you physically have RSVP'd to an event, you feel more like, I need to go, rather than something that might be online that you say, I can get the recording later, or I don't really need this one. Something else comes up. Do you ever feel that a sense of involvement can be, it can backfire? Or do you think that we just have to weigh each one equal?
I mean, you weigh it equally. It depends on the situation. So the point you just brought up is fantastic. Like with IMEX specifically, you don't have to pay to go, even if you just go as an attendee. And I was, do I go? Do I not? Do I go? I didn't sign up, so I didn't have that obligation. And then I'm in this digital space and I see you talking about going. I see Liz talking about going. I see that Dahlia is doing a whole tech bar there. I see Julius is speaking and I'm like, I don't want to miss this, because I thrive on the in-person. Like, I thoroughly enjoy getting to meet you guys, but there's something different about being able to walk up and give Liz and Nicole a hug. You know what I mean? And like the FOMO that the digital world creates is phenomenal, because it exposes your events to a whole nother group. On the flip side, I didn't register until right before. And that is the number one pain point of anybody planning events right now. Your hotel
is 30 days
in advance and people are signing up 12 days before. So it's like, it's a double-edged sword, and it depends on what you want your focus to be. So it's like, I could go one way or the other. There's a way to harness it and use it for good. And there's a way that it can really backfire on you if you don't use it for good. So it's all about balance.
I absolutely love that you brought that up, because as a member, I've been on the MPI board for several years. I'm now a VP of finance here in our MPI Tennessee chapter. I'm rolling off the board just because I have to take a break. I have to focus on things, like I told you before, my laundry list of things that I do. But I really found that one of our biggest pain points is, last week we were at like 60 registrants. We have our gala next week. Today I got on, it was at 125. So we're a week out, which is pretty good. But our target is really to have like 200. Yep. And it's like, we tried incentivizing people in the past to like, you sign up now, you get a discount. They don't care. It's like, I just had someone email me, I'm able to go now. I just signed up. Can't wait. I don't know what to wear. Like, commiserating over that. But there seems to be this lack of urgency where it's going to be there. I can always go. But I think that's why event planners get so mad, because we're trying to plan efficiently. And yep. As planners, we are the worst about it. Our whole industry is the worst, because we put our clients first instead of ourselves and our networking. Correct. So how do you combat that in our own industry?
I mean, you talk about it. That's the first thing, is that we're starting to have all these conversations. And with this specific instance, it's like, this is a number one pain point for almost any event planner. I was in fundraising events, so our galas were the same way. It was like the last week we got up to our goal. Thank God we just plan ahead in food and beverage. But I think the fact that we're talking about it and we're coming together as a community to, how do we get people involved sooner? What's working for you? What's working for this? Like, the only way to fix it is to trial and error. What works now? What has worked for you to get those? How did you get those 60 people to sign up a week before and like double your registrants? It's like, you got to go back and look what messaging worked, who posting about it gave them the FOMO that they wanted. And this is something that we're actually starting to share as a community. And I learned from some of the tips that came up in our Slack channel, I've learned so many cool things that I wouldn't have thought of to get people involved at the beginning and to make them feel the desire to be involved. Because right now, the way the world is, people have infinite options. There's no longer just the holiday event that you go to down the street. There's 15 you choose from. And you're looking, are you looking at price? Are you looking at age activities? Are you looking, you know, like, what are you looking for? What are people using as their motivators? And I think the only way to combat it is to keep talking about it and keep trying and then see what works. The hard part with events is that once we figure out what works, it's going to change, but well, it'll work for a little while and we'll have something. But I think that's, I mean, you have to just let people, this is so funny because this is not planned. You have to let the people you're trying to talk to be involved in the process, because that's the only way you're going to figure out what works and how to get past all those trials that were, you know, those issues that we're encountering in this new world, because it is a new world. People don't care about early bird pricing anymore.
They don't. Price is not an indicator of when people or what people are going to sign up for. Because we used to do free events for another event we did, another group that has now grown. And it's, you know, but at the beginning it was like, why did like everyone say they were coming and nobody shows up? I'm like, well, maybe we do need to put something on it. So we put a price on it, and that didn't seem to work. We would sell out because people would buy the tickets. And then like last minute, like, I can't go. But I wrote this down while you were talking, because I'm actually happy. So just so everyone knows, we rescheduled this. Gabby had to take care of some, which is actually the most wonderful thing, because right now I was able to watch a documentary that I'm not sure you know about, and maybe you do. It was on Netflix and it's called Join or Die.
Oh,
and
no.
It's on right now. Terrible marketing for it. I mean, it's an old picture of these ladies in a bowling league. And the reason why, it comes from the book Bowling Alone and the statistical stuff of why, like what happened during the ages and how the decline of people joining clubs has really played a role. It is fantastic. I mean, everyone go to Netflix, put it on right now, get out of some other issues you're having in your life and just watch it. Because what's so interesting is the data. So we kind of peaked in, I think it was late 70s, early, like when bowling leagues, when leagues and stuff and Kiwanis Club and people went to things and felt like they were a member and felt like they were involved in something. And then it started declining. And then as social media and stuff, like people are not going to things anymore. They're online, and how we're trying to combat that again. So like we're trying to have that curve go back up. But it's such an interesting documentary. And the book was written in like the 80s. It's so crazy how the studies have been going on for so long. But what I love about being able to mention that is we find that people want to volunteer. They want to be involved. It just doesn't seem like anybody wants to make the decision on how to involve them. Or we're always planning to have someone do something. We're always seems to be in this planning process of how people get involved instead of executing. Do you ever find that when you're trying to have that engagement with events or other clubs or other types of ways that people can talk to each other?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not only that, but it's also like bowling leagues always worked. So we're just going to keep doing bowling leagues. And it's almost like people and the way they want to get involved are constantly changing. So it's, I'm listening to you talk, and what came to my head was like, well, why are we trying so hard to get them back involved the way they were? It's almost like, maybe we got to meet them. Maybe we have these conversations and there's this new way of engagement and involvement that people would respond to much better, but we're not seeing it because we're trying to force the bowling leagues. You know, you were just talking about that and I'm thinking, and I'm like, we are pushing to try and peak it again, but like social media has changed everything. It is completely different now. And the way our brains are wired are completely different. So I think it's, yeah, I think it's a matter of taking the time to understand the way things have changed and giving people that we want to talk to the opportunity to give their perspective on it and help us form those changes, because that's the only way it's going to be successful. I feel like I keep saying that. Sorry, but you are like, you're illuminating me in this.
Well, I found it very interesting because I feel like there's so many opportunities out there, which we did touch on, that there's like now not just the one holiday party, there's the 15, and we have to decide. Like, do you find that maybe because we have so many options for involvement that people are just not getting involved because it's too much?
100%. And it's, if I have 15 options and one of them is joining a live stream in my, I mean, I'm 24 weeks pregnant, my pants don't fit. If I can sit here in my husband's sweatpants and join a virtual community, I'm going to choose that all day, every day. Or if there's one that's, you know, right down the road, I'm probably going to do that regardless of what else is offered. So I feel like it's almost paralysis by analysis. You know, when you have too many choices, you just don't make one. And it's, yep. And how do you combat that? How do we combat that? How do we keep people involved and engaged when they have infinite options?
Yeah. Or you could be like me. You do them all.
Do all. I was just going to say.
You figure it out. Like
you can do all of yours and mine, and I'm going to stay here.
Well, it's really, really funny because I'm also part of another community that has really helped me get to this point of doing this, you know, this podcast and the book and all of that sort of stuff. And the first weekend, it was 2 weekends ago. So it was the first weekend in November or when we're recording, this was a few weekends ago. And I do this community where we go every week, but there's these boot camps that they're in the weekend and they're all virtual. And I was like, I really need to do it. But my son's soccer team had made it to the tournament. And it was like, if they win this game, they go to the next game. They win this game, they go to the next game. And I was like, how am I going to do it? And I sat on the sidelines because sometimes they have like a half an hour practice and I had my headphones in and I like literally was like doing it. I was making two things I wanted. Now, was I 100% in listening? Maybe not. I missed the last session, which I watched the recording knowing that was coming, but making those decisions sometimes is very difficult. And I have to make it also with my own calendar. That's what I want to get to, that personal. There's something about being involved on the grand scheme of things when you are an event and you're isolated or making that decision, but making the decision on a personal level to join something online or a group, and then how that affects you personally rather than kind of being in a space where you kind of have to be, where you're forced to be involved. Can you talk a little bit about what you have found with people making those personal decisions on involvement or sitting it out on the sidelines? Have you ever talked to people on what really does engage them to be involved?
I mean, I've never asked the question specifically, but I think in conversation, you can determine like where people's priorities are. And what you just brought up is, I mean, I was just like, moment as an event planner. It's like, I feel like I miss out on a lot of involvement. I do a lot of things, but I'm just present. I'm not involved because I'm doing six different things at once. Like you were probably, I mean, you're a superwoman, so you don't count, but you are probably half a person at soccer and half a person on that call, as opposed to if you really wanted to be involved and get something from that boot camp, you would have had to be fully engaged. And it's, I don't know that anyone's fully engaged anymore, you know? And as event professionals, because we're on call 24/7, because of the nature of this hustle culture that we're in, I don't know that we're ever really fully involved, and especially in our own personal stuff. That's the hardest part for us, is like disengaging so that we can go to the soccer practice or, you know, take care of your sick daughter like I had to do when we scheduled. Thank you. But it's like, I've never personally asked, but you look and it's like, I don't know that people even know what motivates them to be the most involved. It's like whatever you're interested in, whether it's mildly or 100% in one, want to be involved, want to be in it, you're still splitting your time. That's just the way that the world is right now. And it fascinates me as we're talking about this, because it's like, even if we could get people more engaged or more involved, how do we get them more engaged? Where they're not doing two things, where they're not listening to something as something's going on over here. And that's, now I want to ask that question. Like, what would motivate you to be 100% involved and engaged? Like, what could have changed your opinion to make you either 100% soccer practice or 100% on that boot camp? Like, is there something that could have done it? Or is it just like, nope, that's the way it is. So you're going to have to deal with half engaged attendees because that's just the way the world is.
I think that, you know, you hit the nail on the head right there, because it's like, I couldn't miss my son's tournament. And I actually have brought this up to other people, especially what we're doing in the industry with virtual site tours. And people are like, no, I want to go on the site tour. I'm like, can you go? Like, I want to go, but can I go? Now let's just say, because my son didn't know they were making the tournament until the week before.
Right.
Let's just say I had an event or I had something to, you know, that weekend, or a site visit. what would have happened there? You know, would that choice have even been there for me? And knowing as a mom, this is a huge struggle, as you know, as well as making those decisions. You know, I went to my daughter's school this morning. She's got her bear run next week.
Yeah,
the bears. It's the week or whatever. They all run. They make money, whatever, for the school. And I was like, what time is it? Because I've got stuff going on. Like, I need to know when I have to be here because it's like a half an hour. But if I schedule an appointment on that day at the wrong time. And I think that, you know, I'm trying to be as present as I possibly can. But sometimes you can't. And that's why when I decided to create what I created, it really was about how can you juggle without actually travel? Or how can you get things done when you put your kids to bed? Or how can you do things in your jammies instead of like putting clothes on and parking? And I have to say, the reason why I'll go to an event is if it has free parking. Parking is like my biggest pet peeve.
Do you have anxiety? Because I'm the same way. Like, I practice parking before I go to events. But I think what you're doing is so cool because that would allow someone who can't travel to be fully engaged in a site visit for however long it takes without having to sacrifice days or hours on the back end or the front end of it. Yeah. And I think the one thing I will say that I've noticed in the past 4 or 5 years, probably not during COVID, but right after, is that I'm in a place, even when I was in my corporate job, where I feel more comfortable saying to my team and my boss, like, I feel comfortable being like, hey, I know we have our board meeting, our big September board meeting on this Saturday, but it is my daughter's such and such. And that's really important to me. And I don't feel like before when I was at the very beginning of my career, that wasn't an option. If I had said, I want to go to a family's wedding and miss a World Cup meeting, no, that's not allowed. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're finally starting, and people like Janice, who's also an EG, but who are starting to have the conversation of like, people need to be able to do that. Can't do it every time. You can't miss every single Saturday for every single soccer game. But if there's a tournament that's super important, I think we're actually in a place where we as event professionals can say, hey, this is important to me. This is something that I really need to do. How do we work around this? And that is a trend. I mean, we're certainly not there yet. And I'm sure there are event professionals listening to this, like cursing me but it's getting there. It is getting there. And I can tell that it's coming. And that makes me a little bit hopeful that maybe the involvement and engagement will start to shift where we can start to get a little bit more attention. Because if we allow people to take the time they need for their personal stuff, then next time, they're going to feel much more apt to be more involved and engaged and give us their full attention. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Like, so attendees. That brings up something very interesting. So a few years ago, I went to Incentive Research Foundation's their annual event. And one of the things that came up during that time with their surveys, it's a lot of research on incentives, which I didn't even know that was a thing up until then. I was like, wow, who did this much research on incentives? That's crazy. But one of the things was family and being able to bring their families on the incentives with them, and not just their spouse, but their children as well. And this comes up a lot. There's actually an event I'm going to tonight, which is a Wednesday. So my husband works in his office Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but he works from home Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays. I try to have things that if I have to be out of the house, those are the days. I've changed dance. I'm like, Maisie, do you want to do hip hop instead of this one? Because it's at a good time and daddy's off of work. And if I can't be there, like, I had to be very, very good about that. But I said to her, it's like, I can't come tonight because it starts at 5 and my husband doesn't get home until 6. She goes, we'll bring the kids. I was like, what? Like, I am actually starting to find that people are, my kids are a little, you know, 8 and 11. They're usually pretty good. I'm starting to take my kids to things with me because, number one, they are advocates for my company. They will walk around to everyone and hand out business cards for me. I took my son to a fundraiser with me for MPI and he was playing the mini golf while I was running the event. And he was like, everyone's like, your son was so cute. And he's like, he was giving out business cards and all that. And I think that sometimes we forget that we have families. Like, we want to hide them. Like, no, we do this because of the love of our clients. No, we do it for a paycheck. And let's be honest about it. And if that paycheck involves, because I need to support these people that I love, and that's my life. I'm not living, you know, to work. I work to live. Is that right? Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. But really, people are starting to understand that the reason why we do things is because we are bringing these people along with us for the ride. And I want my kids to know what I do. I want that to be normalized.
And can I make it a little controversial here and say maybe that's because women are getting so much more involved in the workforce, and it's not just the men where the women can, you know, stay with the kids or will make the sacrifice. I almost feel like, I bet you being able to have your kids at the MPI event or have your son and bring your kids tonight, you're going to be able to be more involved and engaged because you feel far more welcome. You feel valued. You felt seen and heard. Like at the end of the day, people just want to be seen, heard, and valued. And that is the best way you're going to get involvement, engagement, loyalty, commitment. And what better way to do that than including what is important to them? And that, I know it's not always ideal. It's hard to have kids at a gala. Take that lesson from me.
Well, that's mommy night. That's mommy night. We're not taking them to the gala, but you know, the one that has an activity or it's centered around, you know, Halloween where there's going to be candy. Like those are certain things. Tonight it's, you know, it's barbecue. You know, we're doing like a barbecue. It's going to be fun. Will I take them to the gala? Absolutely not. That's mommy's night out.
And that's you because you're, it doesn't feel like you're having to withhold or like you're not allowed to. It's like, no, I brought them to this event because it made sense for them. This is one where I need to be fully focused and engaged, so I'm not going to bring them. But you don't feel like you're neglecting your motherly duties because you were able to involve them and engage them in a different way. And it's like, it's that balance. It's so hard.
As parents, so hard. It's but impossible. That's another, if I had time for another business, it would totally be like sitters at events and that like be reasonable price. Cause I know that there are companies that do it, but it's ridiculous how much it costs, but like, how great would that be? It's like, you know, there's churches that do it, you know, that they have church and they have the room for the little kid, the kids to go to. It's like, why don't we do that at events? Like being able to have them come with us, and you know, be able to kind of be involved in things and have meals with us, but then they go off to their things while we're doing business. And I think that maybe it is a shift. I mean, I think there a lot of people are not involved sometimes because they don't feel like they're welcome. Like what you said, they didn't feel heard, seen, all the three things that you just said. Can you expand on that, on a little bit of that psychology behind how to get people on ways to get them involved through some tips that you might have to get people feel that way, that they feel like they're part of that community?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, with what I do specific to relationship management and events, it's funny because the more that I work with people on this stuff, the more I realize how applicable it is to every other part of my life. And the number one thing that I work with people on is communication, and not just being able to talk, not being on stage, but open communication. And that seems so rudimentary and basic as a concept. But when you dive into it, it's like the art of communication is so complex. Like you have to be able to, you have to have emotional intelligence. You have to be able to understand your own methods, your own triggers, your own grounding measures, you know, before you can actively engage and understand other people's. And it's so working on that, working on active listening, I realized for the majority of my career, this is like the number one lesson that I had to learn, is that I was the answer person. I had a million things to do, so I was never actively listening. I was listening to people so that I could respond. I knew what I wanted to say. I knew the point I needed to get across. And since I have started working on listening to understand rather than listening to respond, I have noticed such a shift in the foundation of the relationships that I have. Like, if you can show someone that they are seen, heard, valued, appreciated, however you want to say it, and you can show that you're actually hearing what they're saying and then base your response on that, show some sort of empathy, show some sort of understanding, immediately their defenses go down and they want to be more engaged and involved with you. They feel that trust. They feel that development. So it's almost like It sounds so silly when you say it out loud, but if you can actually work on, when you're having conversations with people, work on your body language and work on clearing your head to actually listen to what people are saying or asking for, you can respond appropriately and collaboration just happens. In our world, conflict and conflict resolution it's inevitable. We live in a very fast-paced, high-pressure, high-stakes world. Conflicts are going to happen. And the default is to deal with it quickly, get it over with, address it later. That is the opposite way to actually de-escalate a conflict. So and once you do that, once you show that you are capable of showing empathy, showing understanding, engaging in a two-way conversation, having a two-way communication plan, asking open-ended questions, you immediately have that foundation for trust. And when trust, then you get loyalty. And that is how relationships are built. That's how they're developed. That's how they flourish. And I realized, I should be doing more of that with my husband. It's not just with my lead sponsor at an event. You know what I mean? Like asking open-ended questions. And the golden rule that I live by when it comes to events, and something that I want to make sure every event professional always has in the back of their head, is that whenever you're having a conversation with someone, whether it's conflict, whether it's, a pleasant conversation, you should always be explaining your why for your decisions, and you should always be asking them their why for their decisions or their reasoning, because that is the only way to truly get to the root and understanding of people's boundaries, expectations, issues, conflicts. And once you do that, you have the most solid foundation to build upon. It's like you have to do that every time. You have to say your why and you have to listen. That's the hardest part. Listen to their why too and make that a full collaborative conversation. It's like you want people to be involved, which essentially means invested in the outcome of your relationship activity event. They have to feel like they're seen, heard, part of it, appreciated. And that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Just talk to people. Sounds so silly, but it's so much more complex when you get into it. But two-way communication.
Funny because when you were saying that, I had two things that came to mind. And you kind of went into where I had the second thing that popped in my head, which was, it's like, be a two-year-old sometimes. Why? Why is the sky blue? Why? Just keep asking why? It could get annoying, but really getting through it. And this is where I start a lot of times with my clients. So why do we need, I gave you, here are the details. I'm like, no. Why are you holding this event? Who are the stakeholders? Who are your attendees? Why did you choose this location? I ask questions to people that are, they're like, you're insane. Why is that important? I go, why is it important? Well, I'll tell you why it's important. And I was teaching a CMP class last night and I was telling them about the RFP process and I was doing a whole venue sourcing and I showed them one of my RFPs and they're just like, oh my God, I've never sent one like this. I'm like, you want to know why? Because they need to know these answers. And instead of, coming back and and they can't get in touch with me because I'm on, I want to make sure that I've answered a lot of their questions because I ask my clients of that. So me collecting that data up front and asking the why to them, to my clients, sets me apart, which now I'm bringing to my technology, which is asking those questions up front so suppliers can get it and digitally working. So it saves us time and money. But what you said about, the event, the boot camp that I was kind of missing, I've been doing something for the last year called the Inner Matrix Systems, which is really rewiring and all. It was the power of emotion, which I started last year late, but this was my first boot camp on it. And what was so interesting was right now in my meditation, it's really just accepting that emotion. It's just accepting. I sit for 20 minutes in that emotion that I'm in, whether that started last week in sadness and then anger. And then now it's going to gratitude. And I'm like, I can sit in gratitude. And why am I grateful? Like name the things. And what was really important, what you just said, is last year when I got into this, it was, I want freedom in my business. I'm going to work for the next year and freedom in my business. And it worked. I was able to go through those cycles. And now I feel like I'm almost there. Like I'm getting it. I've got the tools, huge decisions. This year, I want joy and compassion in my relationship with my husband. Because what did I do along the way while I was trying to get to freedom? I left my other my relationship a little bit behind. I was not nurturing that. And it's those triggers, and it's rewiring your brain and understanding, you know, the emotions that come with that. And I think that you really did focus on how the brain works and how we get into fight and flight or respond, I write this down all the time, but you know, there's just responses that we have and, you know, mm-hmm. that we just go into, we react instead of respond. That's where I was going. Yeah. We react. We don't think, we don't take a pause. And, I love how you kind of brought that back, because everything I've done in this journey this last year and this being December and this whole thing with involvement and everything that has happened is really based on understanding my own brain and emotions. And if we can get to the root of people understanding that our involvement with each other, our communication with each other will be so much better.
And the work that you're talking about with Inner Matrix is so phenomenal, because people don't understand, like, you just made the perfect example. It's like, not only do you have to understand right now your emotions, sit in those emotions, while you're doing that, you're also understanding how to recognize those and recognize your priorities, because Debbie sitting in those emotions a year and a half ago is going to have very different whys than Debbie sitting in those emotions now. And it's like, every single relationship, personal, professional, doesn't matter. It goes through that type of evolve. It evolves every single time. And so you can't just, I did this. I had this conversation with this person that was decided a year and a half ago. That person is not the same. I mean, in quite literally in events, it might not be the same person. So it's like being able to understand the inner workings, the inner matrix of your emotions, it helps you to continuously identify and adapt. And once you can do that with yourself, once you have that foundation, it's not easy for everyone, but then you're able to do it with others, which is the second half of emotional intelligence. It's like you can recognize where people are coming from, and you're able to, adapt the way I'm going to respond in this situation. I can see they're getting agitated. I'm going to take 5 minutes, blah, blah, blah. You know, like once you understand the foundation in yourself and you're able to adapt as you change, you're able to see it in other people. And what a better way to build trust. And like that is involved. People have to trust you. People have to want to be or want to be invested in the success of whatever it is in order to be involved and engaged. Right. And you can't do that without that foundation, which a lot of people are missing, because we're all born with the ability to have communications, but to really actively listen and to really understand ourselves, like the emotional intelligence, that's not something you're born with. It's also not something you learn once and you're good forever. It is like a muscle that you're training, constantly working out and flexing.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating, because I think if we can get to that point where more people are emotionally intelligent and emotionally aware, not just in our industry, I think in the current world that we're in, I feel like if more people can work on that, you're going to see a lot more of it projected and a lot more of the empathy, and then a lot more of the connection, engagement, involvement, whatever you want to call it. That's just the natural outcome of it.
Yeah.
But it's scary. Getting in touch with your own emotions and understanding your own triggers is freaking terrifying.
It's awful. You're like, do I do that? And then you go, I do that. And then when you're stressed out or you're in anxiety or overwhelm or anger, and that something triggers you, you'll go there. But if you train your brain to know, my trigger is going to go to gratitude. I'm grateful that I even have this opportunity to talk to this person that, you know, and all that sort of stuff, or you know, this person gives me the freedom to be able, like, you have to go to places. Mine is always, I have it right in front of me. And it says, I've got a few post-it notes. One of them is, I'm proud of myself. I tell myself every day, I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job.
One that says, give yourself grace. Which, yeah. Right. Yeah.
My next one is, I am the boss. I am. I am the boss of my life. I'm the boss of my company. I am the boss. Live in it. And then the other one has 5 words, which is freedom, inspiration, empowerment, gratitude, and passion. And I try to think about those every day while I sit and work. Now, does that really work when I'm sitting with my husband and possibly having an argument? No, but you know where I'm going to go with that is compassion, unity, joy, and understanding what those emotions I want to go to, because if we have the same vision and we have the emotion to get there, Everything else is just not part of that.
And if you're able to tell him, this is where I'm feeling and this is where I'm going right now, he's able to adapt his response to it too. And then it just becomes, there we go. There's the natural collaboration. And it's like, it doesn't solve all of life's issues. There'll still be conflicts. You're still going to fly off the handle. Not you. That's more me. I'm Italian. I do that. You're still gonna experience that. But one, you're able to prevent it far more because you're able to recognize the triggers, but you're also able to get yourself back.
Yep. Well, I know we can talk forever on this. Promised you we would not go longer than 45 minutes. But one thing in particular, I think that people really need to realize the difference between sympathy and empathy as well.
Correct.
And everyone go, that's your homework. Realize what that is. Because a lot of times, like, I'm so sorry for you. No, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I want you to come along and understand and accept what I'm going through. I don't need you to feel sorry for me. I need you to accept and bring me to a better level.
Feel anything. Right. I just need you to understand. Which is very different than feeling something. Yeah. Because I don't want you in the same headspace as me. You won't be any help.
No, you won't be any help. Exactly. Like,
I want you to understand so that I know I have someone who can commiserate. Yeah. You're exactly. 100. Wow. That so is.
We can unpack this all day, but, yeah. When we, you know, we'll make sure that people know where to find you, where to find your pro event tips. This has been such a fabulous chat. Like, honestly, I'm pretty sure we can go on all day, but we have stuff to do. And yes, you're incubating a child, and I've got development meetings. And it has been such a pleasure to talk to you. I hope we can continue this conversation. We'll make sure that people can get in touch with you via our LinkedIn or whatever you need us to kind of link to, just let us know. And thank you for being part of the show. And thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me. I was really looking forward to this, so I'm happy to be here.
Thank you.